This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Rose Oconee Historical Society. Today is the first day of the Rose Oconee Fair for 2018. We hope you'll come to the building that our Rose Oconee Historical Society has been given to promote our collection during the fair. This year is the 100th anniversary of the Great War, now called World War I, and Brit will display artifacts and information about our county's involvement in that war. It also happened to be during the terrible influenza epidemic, so there will be information about that sad time too. Please come and visit with staff members and board members volunteering at the exhibit during the fair and give us your feedback about your official county museum. It's a good time to renew your annual membership, maybe buy one of the products we sell, or just enjoy walking through a cool building and enjoying the exhibits. Last week I read about P.O. Frickland, whose eclectic collection became part of the Rose Oconee Museum. He had lived in Badger starting in 1899, then moved to Roseau after becoming clerk of court. He brought his collection with him at that time and kept it in the basement of the courthouse. In 1927, he and other men met with a common goal of preserving the history of Rose Oconee by forming the Rose Oconee Historical Society. They chose officers including Eddie Bilberg, the superintendent of schools, and J.W. Durham, the first sheriff of the newly formed county when it split from Kitson in 1895. Mr. Frickland and G.I. Brandt were the other officers. In 1937, the collection was moved to three large rooms above the new municipal building in Roseau. The Society acquired title to Mr. Frickland's vast collection in 1945. Many of his artifacts are still displayed in the current museum in the City Center building and are remembered by people from many generations. Since we'll be enjoying our fair this week, I'd like to read a little piece that was included in the Centennial book by Hazel Wahlberg with information from Cap Nelson. It was called Round, Round Goes the Merry-Go-Round. The tune, School Days, could be heard blocks away, for it was Saturday night, and Mr. Calhoun had just started the little engine that made the model horses begin to prance. It didn't take long for the youngsters to begin to gather for their chance at riding the merry-go-round. This was no primitive machine, for it had the usual array of horses, roans, whites, and grays. There was also a pony for the small, less brave children to ride. Mr. Calhoun was the owner and ticket master. This was about the year of 1912, and Calhoun was also a civic-minded man, for he had held many offices in the little village and was also on the fire brigade. The price of a ticket was a nickel. Cap Nelson was a good customer for the merry-go-round, and he saved his nickels all week for a chance to ride. His cousin, Alfred Nelson, was intrigued by the music, and even though he was just a young lad, he would go home from the evening of fun and play the tunes that he had just heard. He had to play them on a pump organ, and he was too short to sit on the stool, so he would stand and pump with one foot while he would play what he had just heard uptown. Cap taught the kids a novel way of catching a few minutes of free riding time. He said, "See, you jump on across from Mr. Calhoun, and you jump off just when you see him taking your money." Some of the kids didn't jump soon enough or weren't prepared to run alongside the merry-go-round for a few paces, and there were some scraped knees and elbows. Kindly Mr. Calhoun often looked the other way when he saw how eager the children were, especially those who were short of nickels. Some of the children, besides the Nelson relationship, were Forsbergs, Lindbergs, and Warschmidts. All these children had pleasant memories of the early merry-go-round. The merry-go-round was where the Farmers' Union was in 1995. Thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our county stories.